Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Issue 33.
Woo!
Double threes. I like that. That's a good luck number. That's a good luck number.
I like three in general.
Yeah, me too.
seven's better.
Yeah, threes and sevens. Anyway. Good numbers.
Let us know in the comments what your favorite number is.
This is Nat here, and with me, as always,
is Pat.
I'm Cat in Hat.
Yes,
I'm trying to think. I'm like, what hat am I wearing?
Big news week because of New York Comic Con, so we will get there in just a moment. But first, we're going to chat to the top of the stack. This is our segment where we talk about either retroactively what should have been the top of our stack or what we were most excited about on our stack for the past couple weeks and put it to the top. And I'm going to lead with Murder Falcon! I had been waiting for this book for a long time. This is Daniel Warren Johnson with colors by Mike Spicer. I mean, it's metal, anthropomorphized, MF-er.
I don't, yeah. I was just like, what?
It's a story about coping. It's a story about loss, story about monsters, and there's onomatopoeia, and
there's metal. And there's a guitar.
And there's
metal. And lightning, and a falcon with a robotic arm.
And there's a 3-minute and 20-second metal track that you can download to listen to while you're reading and, you know, getting into all the action. And
I feel like even though it's a comic and it doesn't actually have music in it, if you're a metal fan, like, at all in the slightest, this is exactly everything that you like, live and
read
for.
I'm just saying the thought process with this is that if they don't make some kind of like audible read-along for this, I will be disappointed.
I mean, we'll probably do a full review, but did anybody else hear Jack Black as either Jake or Murder Falcon while reading?
Because I kind of went between. I didn't get that far. I was too stuck on the music.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was like, I feel like I'm like, I read this. I don't need weapons, officer. I brought metal.
I can totally see it now that he's saying it.
If this isn't a movie in like a year,
I want this as an animated like mini series on like Amazon or Netflix.
No, where I think
would be
great
to be like an American anime.
Yeah,
too.
Like, well, especially with Daniel Warren Johnson's style with all the speed lines and stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
that's exactly what I'm thinking of. Like in the background, all the action. Right.
Well, we were talking about Batman: Brave and the Bold, and that has those moments where like a punch happens and they literally do a freeze frame and have like Kirby dots and like speed lines going around. I'm like, you could totally do that.
And that's
with this
where you get like reaction shots of people being like, I've never seen a chord progression that complex.
Right. All right. Well, Patrick, what do you got?
I had top of the stack was pretty contentious these last few weeks, but I think I'm gonna have to go with Captain America number 4. For me, it's written by Ta-Nehisi Coates with art by Lionel Francis Yu. And man, this series is great. It's getting so good, man. I was pretty excited to read this and reading it. I was talking to Kat about this before. It's like, it's very clear Ta-Nehisi writes with a message, and he's like, you read it and you're like, I know there's a very, I'm supposed to get a message out of this. But, like, the message is, like, so complex and subtle that it's not, like, I don't know. Like, you think, like, with something that seems this political, it would be, like, really political. But it's, like, I don't know. It's getting, like, the more and more it goes, the more in your face and the more nuanced it's getting at the same time. So it's, like, it's a really refreshing read, I feel like, in this climate. If you're at all inclined into politics, that it's not, like, this is what you should do, and if you don't do it, you're stupid. It's like, things are complex, and what do we do about it? Captain America is trying to figure out this world we live in along with the rest of us, I feel. So it almost makes him even more relatable and heroic.
That's awesome.
In certain ways. So, yeah.
Oh, man, just looking through that book is fucking gorgeous.
Yeah,
gorgeous.
And of course, Lionel's artwork. I mean, just the cover of it, is chills. You know, and all. Oh my gosh, yeah. Every aspect of this book is just getting more and more incredible.
Who'd have thought? Captain America.
I know, right? I never in all my days even cared about Captain America. And now this is like, and now it's literally the top of my stack.
That's crazy.
So, that's what, that's what, I guess that's just what goes to show when you have a good creative team on a book. It doesn't really matter who they want to do it with. They'll do a good job.
Yeah. Kat, what'd you decide on?
Well, with nobody's help. So, because I'll talk about the other one later, but the What If Flash Thompson Became Spider-Man, that was awesome. It was written by Jerry Conway, and then I will butcher this dude's name. The artist is...
Diego Olor... Oh my god, Olor Tegui? Tegua? I'm sorry.
Whoa, that was stumped on a name.
That's yeah, that's sweet. Awesome. There was a lot
of vowels in that name.
There's a lot. I'm pretty sure half his name is vowels. Nothing against you, but if you could tell us how to pronounce your name, everyone here will be really happy.
Please come on the show and tell us how to pronounce your name, along with how you do amazing artwork.
Yeah, seriously. Well, the thing was when I was reading this, it had like a Golden Age feel to it, the way that some of the stuff looks. At least, like, Peter Parker's got that his little sweater vest with his tie. And so obviously, from the title, you can see that, like, What If Flash Thompson Became Spider-Man? Yeah, like, you know, he was a douche.
Yeah.
And he didn't quite understand how to not be a douche, even as Spider-Man. It was basically a Spider-Man who was so insecure about himself and looking to others for some kind of sign that he was a hero. Because every single time people are, like, afraid or... Because he beats the shit out of villains to the point where they're like, you don't know if they have a face anymore.
Oh, so he's like Batman, but Spider-Man?
Probably worse, because at least Batman only has, like, human strength. He has superhuman strength.
Oh, okay, so he has, like, he got bit?
Yeah, he was the one who got bit instead of Peter Parker at that science fair. And, but, you know, because he's screaming at everyone, I'm a hero, I'm the hero, I'm the hero, consistently. I mean, he never really he saved them, but he scared them more than he saved them. I actually really like his costume too. It's really cool looking.
Yeah, it looks like it's a couple nods to the Ben Reilly suit as well as the Superior Spider-Man suit. So,
but he lives in a trailer park. Like he's that high school guy who got nothing. Like he's got nothing. He lives in a trailer park. Peter Parker actually finds him at one point. And he just loses his shit and says, it's your fault that I'm this way. It's your fault because you smart guys. This is why my life is. And then he punches him full force to where the back of the trailer.
Spoilers.
So this entire comic is just, it's a dude who's saying, hey, I'm a hero. Hey, I'm a hero. And obviously he's not a hero.
Trying to prove to everybody that he's actually a hero.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Very cool. Nice. The what ifs are actually pretty exciting this time around.
I didn't actually think it was going to be as good as it was. I figured it'd be kind of dumb, but I was like, damn, this is like you need to look at yourself. Are you what you say you are? Or what you're screaming at people all the time?
All right, well, we're going to jump in because we have it's basically all quick hits, so... We're just gonna go right into it.
Yeah.
The Into the Spider-Verse official, full trailer release.
Second trailer, I think is what they call it.
Second trailer? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there's too many trailers now. Wow!
Oh, man. I know, right?
Wow! The references to the other Spider-Man films just, had me rolling.
Well, they referenced the original ones twice in that trailer.
Three times.
Pretty much all,
three
like...
Or four times.
They almost like, all, like...
I noticed that the train...
The train, the upside-down kiss, the car flipping into the,
That was the other one. What was the fourth one, then?
There was the car coming into the coffee shop. Yeah, that was slightly different, because he, just stood up and punched it.
Right, and he's also in the coffee shop. Not Peter in the bar, or the coffee shop there.
Yeah, because in the movie, he just, grabs it.
Yeah, and the car flips over. That whole, the flash sequence afterward where they show a bunch of different, panels, there's the Doc Ock scene from...
Oh, really?
It's all over there. I have to rewatch to see how many other references. The suit from the new game is in the background in one of the scenes.
Fucking love that game.
Yeah, it's just crazy. The number of references. Nick Cage as Spider-Man Noir.
Yeah.
Penny Parker.
He's having a good year.
Penny Parker is the thing that got me really excited.
John Mulaney as Spider-Ham,
which was great. Just walked
Peter
up
Parker.
I thought I was watching a freaking Looney Tunes cartoon when he walked up the way he walked up.
the stylistic choices that they've made for the movie itself, but then the differentiation of the different dimensions is really interesting.
Yeah.
Spider-Gwen's or Ghost Spider stuff is very, it's got that pop pink and bright colors, and yeah, it was just like just a fantastic movie. I can't wait to see this.
Oh yeah, I'm so excited.
Which
so
I feel like their thing is like this Christmas, and I'm like, you said what?
It's December 14th.
Yeah, that is. I'm like, okay, that's
you market it as the Christmas run because that's you're going to get alternative content like that. That's what you know, like families will take their.
If there's no Christmas in that movie at all, I'm going
to
be sad.
I'm actually. I hope there's no Christmas in the movie because I want the movie to feel timeless and not be locked into a time of the year.
I just want to see a Christmas tree. I'm not asking to like celebrate Christmas. I just want to see like a Christmas tree.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I want Miles to be Puerto Rican in the movie. That's like a big thing for me. I just want to make sure they like actually keep that.
Is he? Is he in the comics?
Mm-hmm. He's half Puerto Rican, half black.
I know he's Afro Latino. I couldn't remember what specific.
I mean, it's New York, so not to be like insensitive, but more than likely he's Puerto Rican.
that's fair.
That's where I come from.
That's just demographics. Right.
We'll stick to the teaser bag and wagon unless anybody else wants to talk more about Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
No, let's hit some more stuff. We got a lot of stuff.
Aladdin, the teaser trailer for Aladdin for the live action.
That was actually pretty good. I was like, what are we talking about?
Yeah. I dug this. It's a short teaser. It doesn't have a lot to it, but...
I think there's just like four scenes in the trailer. Like you get Agrabah during the day, you get Agrabah at night.
You don't see Agrabah close up. You just see the
It's a wide shot of Agrabah at the day, and then a closer shot at night, and then like the entrance,
the Cave of Wonders, and the voice of the Cave of Wonders panther thing.
That's the only voice.
Tiger makes more sense.
Yeah, because his face is
bigger. It's a cat. Yeah. It's a big cat. Yeah.
That's speciesist.
They'll eat me, any of those, so it's fine. I loved it. I think tonally it feels really interesting. There's this shift that I see happening in cinema that is based on these type of properties where there's a lot of cartoony surreal aspects to them where like bright colors and like sparks. I think the first time I really noticed it was Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Where that first monster is like puking confetti, you know, like, and it has that sort of that feel.
Like the video games where you can change it to when you shoot someone in the head.
Exactly. Like, and it has that sort of vibe. And I feel like Aquaman looks the same, like in that same vein. And this has that sort of like the bright colors, like embracing the content. It's very like it's cartoony in a way.
Well, you're able to like stylize something and give it and like make it feel more like it's supposed to feel than it would in real life.
Right. It doesn't have to be
with a movie.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be real. It has to be like a fantasy. Like it feels like fantasy. It feels like a story.
You feel about something is more real than the actual thing itself.
Oh, that's deep. That's deep. Cat.
It's just because I'm apparently just grumpy and cynical this morning. I don't like teaser trailers. I'm just like, give me the trailer. I can thank you for your teaser and your little shots. Now I want more. You're a douche.
I don't know where I fall on that. I think I like the idea that the teaser, because this is a movie that's coming out in May, so
I can live with that though.
Yeah. There's probably not a lot of effects that are done.
To me, I kind of think about teaser trailers as more as just like a mashup of preliminary shots.
Yeah,
it's like you see the, you know, we'll talk about Batwoman here in a second. You know, you get like just like a mashup of just like a video of the shots,
the
pre-release shots.
Exactly. There was like the first scene that they filmed, and then they're like, okay, we need to push this to digital so we can put a release out now.
Yeah, exactly. But, like let's just get some stuff done or whatever. And
I don't know. I guess I'm more curious, and the other part of it is too is I want to hear more of the music of it too. Lot of those movies that they're doing, I can applaud them on using Alan.
Menken.
I can appreciate that because he did all the music for those movies. But apparently they are, they're working with him. So I'm curious what stylistically
change. This is one of those few that I think they do have to use some of the songs from
the
original.
They have to. There's no way. Well, they did it. Well,
in the teaser trailer, they had the...
It was Arabian Nights was playing.
Yeah, the beginning... The
sort of reprise of it sounded like.
In Beauty and the Beast, they did a lot of the songs and then added new ones. Like, They added one called Evermore. That song destroyed me still to this day. But
I have
they,
no desire to watch that movie.
Yeah.
Anyways, now that I'm hurt. Moving on.
You were the one who said you didn't want to see the live action ones anymore.
But the
Jungle Book was good. I'm hitting this point where it's more of that's all they're putting out right now, and I don't really see anything new in between that area. Oh, okay. So that's what it is. Is give me something because they're doing.
Hey, you know what they're putting out in between that? Captain Marvel.
Okay, I don't think
all the Marvel stuff.
Okay, that doesn't count because it's Marvel. All right, doesn't count. It's different.
What about you know all the
that ones. Star Wars movie that's coming out later next year?
Ah, God.
Remember, we are talking about Disney here.
They have
I guess it's more. It's more like I want to see them come out with newer, like new content from Disney themselves instead of. I understand using old ideas and renewing them, but. To give me something new in between, I guess, is what it is. Because they're doing Maleficent, too. I love Maleficent. I don't want to see a second Maleficent movie. It doesn't make sense to me.
That doesn't make sense to me.
So that one I'm a little salty about, because I'm like, the first one's fine. It ended. Why are we doing another one? Yeah. So.
All right, we've probably faded on that topic.
Yeah, definitely. That was a very quick time.
The Harley Quinn animated series from DC Universe launched its first trailer. What the fuck?
So Hayley Cuoco is going to be our new voice of Harley Quinn, and normally I get very, the sad part is her other co-star tried to be Harley Quinn, and it didn't go very well in the Big Bang Theory. The chick who plays the little short, Howard's wife, who plays Bernadette, I don't know the name of her, her name off the top of my head, but... Number one, Hayley Cuoco is really hot. Number two, good for you not just saying, I did the Big Bang Theory, I don't need to do anything else. Yeah. Good for you for doing more.
The cast list for the show is insane.
Yeah, I know. Was,
I also would like to see her in a Harley Quinn outfit at some point. If I don't see that, I'm going to be disappointed. You better promote this in a Harley Quinn outfit. Because
that's funny.
Ever since you had the original Harley Quinn, I'm very hard pushed to have anybody's voice, but she actually sold it for me a little bit when I watched it.
We'll get back to that.
I was just going to say, you mentioned the cast, and off the top of my head, you have, Tony Hale and Wanda Sykes.
Yeah.
And J.B. Smoove and, oh my gosh, why am I forgetting him now? The bald guy from Seinfeld.
Jason Alexander.
Yeah, Jason Alexander.
Jim Parsons from Community.
Yeah, what is this show?
See, and it sounds like they're kind of letting them take hold, and hopefully Warner Brothers isn't sticking their nose in it too much.
It really feels like they're attempting to do Deadpool, or make Harley the Deadpool character.
Oh, yeah.
I think as far as a teaser trailer goes, this gives us no plot, just feel.
Yeah.
And if they have the same sort of, yeah.
I kind of don't Deadpool want this to have a plot. I kind of I'm hoping this is a Looney Tunes type show where it's like, Each minute is just random shit that happens. Diedrich Bader coming back as Batman is amazing to me.
All question was she announced as the voice of Harley Quinn? Or
no, Margot Robbie was announced as the voice of Harley Quinn when this was originally announced as part of the shows.
Well, this,
I actually like Cuoco's voice better than Margot Robbie, but I honestly think my Harley Quinn is probably Tara Strong.
Because
Arlene Sorkin only did the voice of Harley in BTAZ, and then there's been different actresses who've tried to mimic Arlene Sorkin's voice.
Mm-hmm.
But Tara Strong wrote a nice line in the middle of that.
See, and from being a kid, it's like Mark Hamill is Joker. It's just it is what it is.
And then Arlene Sorkin is Harley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, the fact that she came in and she didn't try to mimic that voice, she made it her own.
Yeah.
That's probably why I was more appreciative of it.
Yeah, I dig it. I think it works.
Her co-star, who was in the Harley Quinn movie, she tried to mimic her voice, and a lot of people did not like that.
Gotcha.
So it was.
It's hard. I mean, that our Sorkin's voice is very specific.
Mm-hmm. I will say this: Poison Ivy is that I don't care girl you can find in any 90s high school was freaking awesome.
You know what Poison Ivy was to me in that trailer? The internet. Like, she was literally just the internet response.
Now they're going to hate it.
They're going to hate it. They don't care about this.
No, that is a great way to make films.
I thought that was supposed to be dark, like a DC property.
Yeah, dark that was and gritty.
That is an excellent way to make a film, but no.
So that looks... I'm really excited now.
I mean, that's a... No. No, Quinn. There is no fun in Arkham. Except for that guy. He's a huge buzzkill. He's a total buzzkill.
I think for me, I just needed some original content from the DC streaming service to get me, to sell me on it. Because it's been out for, what, like almost a month now?
It's been about a month.
I remember and then you're like, just, what do you mean?
Just today, you get Titans on there, and now we're going to get Harley.
Well, let's actually jump into that. Yeah. So Titans premiered today, sometime at like 3 o'clock in the morning. It's just random. The reviews for this, I have a really interesting perspective on this. I've only watched about 5 minutes of the show, just time-wise. So I watch a lot of YouTube content and reviewers, and this was panned. I'm not talking like this is kind of a bad tonally, it's weird. No, this was, I've watched the pilot, you shouldn't watch the pilot, just don't watch Titans. That far down the rabbit hole, this is horrible, that is joyless, one of the worst things DC's ever come out with. Everything is a mess.
Jesus, fuck.
Within the comic community, people are raving about it and talking about how Anna Diop's Starfire is the breakout character and that this show is going to be awesome and that we should have just waited to begin with.
So wait, the first review is people who just watch...
Like, people who review cinema and TV. And then the other side of that coin is the people who are on, like, the comic book side of the things. And I didn't even know that. I wasn't hearing any of that stuff. But, I'm the comic manager at Griffin, and everybody was walking in saying how good the reviews were. So I actually started looking at that. And it's, like, it's really weird that it's that far on different ends of the spectrum.
It's probably because when you look at comics and a lot of the stories in comics... I actually enjoy a lot more comic stories anymore than I do the actual movies. And the fact that, I could totally see that because they're like, oh, cinematically this and that, which I can understand to a point, but
yeah,
I wonder half the time how much they're basing up a story.
Right.
So, and the DC app is claiming that this is for comics. This is for you. This is for comic books.
Yeah, we'll like see. Patrick, do you have any initial thoughts just like on the ideas of that?
Well, that's a very interesting. I'm actually sitting over here because I'm like, I feel like I fall right in the middle of that because like I'm a huge like TV and film nerd, but I'm also a huge comic book nerd. But I also don't know that much about like the DC,
right.
Like pantheon proper, all that stuff. So like now I'm actually very interested to watch it just to see like what camp I personally fall into. Because if maybe
really
going to
be
critical,
curious if you fall into that middle area.
Yeah, maybe I'm just like the first person that's just like meh.
Well, you know what's interesting? And this is what I really want to hear from you once we get to watch the episode, which is kind of funny that we're spending this much time talking about something speculative.
Isn't that what we do sometimes?
Right.
That's
part of the fun.
Yeah.
Is you don't have the specific ties to these characters like myself or Kat does, where like I have a particular view of what Dick Grayson is supposed to be.
I have a smaller tie to a lot of the characters that are in that.
So, yeah.
Dick Grayson is probably the only one that I'm like, yeah.
I mean, I do have a tie to Teen Titans, the animated series of 2000s, of course.
Or not
and
every
so,
kid,
like,
you know what I'm saying.
But like, obviously, since this is a DC property these days and it's live action, it's like I'm completely divorcing myself,
right.
At least thematically. I just hope
you
at least the characters are as well written and well rounded as they are, even if they go in a different direction, a more adult direction with them. You know, obviously that's what they're doing. So, yeah, I'm super curious. I think I'm actually going to go home right after this recording by the DC Universe and just watch episode one real quick.
Yeah, that's my I'm going to watch it from the beginning on the big screen now to actually get there. All right, moving on to
cool.
Probably
just sideline into Venom since we're talking about critics. And
That seems good. So Venom breaks the October box office record for opening weekend with like I believe it was $85 million domestic.
I
was the
no idea. I don't ever look at box office numbers because I don't really care.
I'm always interested in it.
It's
interesting
to see.
Mm-hmm. Especially, like, the trends over the years. But, like, how weird is it that a movie that's, like, what, I think 30 or 40% on Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh, no. I think it's lower than that. I know that IGN gave it a 4. New York Times gave it, like, a 3 or a 4, but it's basically like, no. Rotten Tomatoes is 28%.
28%.
I'm fairly certain it was 28%.
I think Patrick's going to try to see what the accurate numbers up to this point are, but like, that's absurd
that's the critic review.
Right.
The audience review is like through the roof.
Which is so weird to me. Like, I'm never going to pop on IMDb and do an audience, or Rotten Tomatoes and do an audience review because there's better outlets for that.
Currently sitting at 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. 30%.
Oh, I guess
that's terrible. That's a really terrible, bad. Like, that's so bottom of the barrel in terms of, you know, that puts it with Batman
but
and
it
Superman
also says,
and stuff. You
so,
know? Like,
it also says that 89% of the audience liked it.
Yeah.
Even though
it had an A- cinema score exiting theaters, so
yeah, because I've because one of my coworkers at my job, hilariously enough, he was looking at all the reviews for it. He's like really sad because he's a big Venom guy, and he's like, yeah, everybody gave it a shit review, and I'm like, well, apparently the audience is like losing their minds over it.
Yeah, I'm almost now morbidly curious.
Yeah,
I was not gonna see it. But
the one rule I always had is I can't complain about a movie unless I've seen it. So
I don't know
if I'll see it this weekend. It might be next weekend.
And being more curious about it, like, now I'm wondering if this is like a Blade Runner 2049 effect, where all the critics only had negative things to say about it that didn't involve the actual movie itself.
Oh, really?
But Blade Runner 2049 had like a 87% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, but if you remember when it first came out, pretty much all the headlines was Blade Runner 2049 tanks in box office. Blade Runner 2049 makes no money in the box office.
It's almost
and those are all the reviews, basically.
Well, that was the kind of the reverse part of that.
Yeah,
like, you know, you're dealing with a movie that was well reviewed that nobody saw,
mm-hmm.
and here we have a movie that's poorly reviewed and everybody's seeing.
I see what you're saying now. Yeah, yeah.
That curiosity is. I'm gonna go see it, whether it's today or tomorrow. I'm not sure yet, but
I'm hearing to like keep your head at comedy. That's where the movie actually is. It's more
really?
Of a comedy than
like
anything.
Dark comedy.
Yeah,
kind of thing. Maybe I'll go to a matinee of it.
Yeah.
See, the
I don't
want to
spend
those,
a full
right,
price
exactly.
on this.
See,
so.
the other problem that I have too is I'm such a person who's stuck to the fact that like Venom exists because he hates Spider-Man so much. So I don't know if I'll come out if I'm biased.
I do kind of like the fact that since he is an alien, that he exists on his own. I mean, I feel like there's a whole planet of these guys just running around.
Fun fact: they already talked about that in the new Venom comic.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff. Well, okay, we can keep going with this whole, like, the response to things. Jodie Whittaker's Doctor Who premiere was this past weekend.
I don't have a dog in this
game. I'm not sure what day it premieres on, but yes, it was.
I thought it was last week.
I want to say this past Friday.
I feel like it was sometime
Saturday,
over this past
I would not
weekend.
Look in this direction. I've never seen a Doctor Who.
Shame.
Yeah. I saw this episode of Doctor Who and man, let me tell you, that was an excellent premiere. Excellent premiere for any new Doctor. It's like really, really, really fresh. For all Doctor Who fans out there, it really feels like she is like reprising David Tennant's sort of style of Doctor, if you will.
So like science-y a little bit, like,
you know, maybe,
yeah, like the mad scientist,
yeah,
sort of,
okay.
like
I
feel.
Wonder, like I have a weird sort of tin hat foil theory. For all the people who bitched and complained on the internet about how bad it was, I wonder if it made people want to go and see if it was going to be that bad. Because they were saying, oh, well, it's a girl, it's ruined. So I was curious if maybe that made people be like, oh, come on, it can't be that bad, right? So I wonder if it gained more popularity from that.
Yeah, well, and it went gangbusters.
Yeah.
The premiere, what did you say? It was...
The premiere was 8.2 million viewers,
Jesus.
Which was...
highest since Eccleston?
Yeah, the highest since it originally, or not originally, but the whole reprisal premiere.
That's
whatever
crazy.
You want to call it. With
yeah,
Eccleston.
Like the relaunch of Doctor Who.
Yeah, yeah. With Eccleston. So yeah, it was, that's a crazy thing, but it was weird. I was actually talking to Nat, this past, Wednesday about it, and, you remember the Neil Gaiman.
Oh yeah, that was
you
hilarious.
I feel like a lot of people are thinking that like most people watched it because she's a woman, but I feel like most people watch it because they're just Doctor Who fans.
I think most, yeah, I think the Doctor Who fan community was so sort of like hot cold on Capaldi.
Yeah.
So the idea, well, I think really the thing is we were hot cold on Stephen Moffat.
Yes.
And now that he's gone, he's not going to be the showrunner for the Jodie Whittaker era of this character.
He's not the showrunner. We get a new, fresh Doctor.
Yeah.
Like a completely new, fresh Doctor. Yeah. Like, you know.
I'm hoping there's a joke to the not being a redhead still. It's not being ginger.
Oh. Well, yeah, she mentions in the first episode, she's like, I was a white-haired Scotsman up until half an hour ago. So, like, you know, because it kind of just drops right. You right in the middle. Like, a great Doctor Who episodes, you know?
Yep.
And then great character developing. I'm interested to see, like, where they go, like, companion-wise, because...
It looks like there's going to be a lot of companions.
Right? Yeah, well, right at the end of the episode, there was, like, three definitely viable candidates.
Cool.
So, yeah, all of them very interesting, very well-rounded characters already, so...
Cool.
Yep.
All right, we'll stay on the movie and TV train, and James Gunn has signed on to write Suicide Squad 2 and potentially direct the film.
I guess DC isn't afraid to hire talent.
Yeah.
Dude, I just imagine him walking away from that meeting afterwards like, I got a job in DC in about a month.
Right? I honestly, like...
I hope he like, hops on, like, a little, like, DC-branded, like, moped. Or
Segway.
Yeah, I was thinking of DC, like, with a DC, like, pouch in the front. Right? Just, like, rides out of the meeting with Marvel.
That's hilarious.
Like, see him smoking a cigar for some reason.
He just lights the cigar just to flick it in someone's face.
I'm not sure I like the idea of Suicide Squad 2 happening.
That's okay. I don't either. Like, when they announced this, it was a meh thing for me because I'm like, the first one, the only reason I think that it got a meh for me is because Margot Robbie was so hot as Harley Quinn.
Well, right? I hope they do get Margot Robbie and Will Smith back for this too, but I'm excited for this because... For me, that's where the first Suicide Squad went wrong, is they didn't stick to a single creative vision.
Yeah.
Instead, they basically chopped it up to shit and post, and then put it out as, like, a sort of, like, crowdsourced thing. And I think if you have one person, James Gunn in this case, you know, like, see it from start to finish, at least the script to have something full and cohesive, that I think will give us... I think it's going to be... And infinitely better than the second.
I think
movie, just for the fact,
I think it'll be character driven too.
No, I think honestly, I looked at it as a cheapened Guardians of the Galaxy is literally what I saw. What it was.
That's the thing, though, trying to make a Guardians movie, like essentially. So now you get the guy who made Guardians.
I think it's going to be dark Guardians of the Galaxy. You're going to get those like strong like family overtones that he's liked to write in the last two Guardians movies, but just with as people are killing people.
I think it'd be really good to go hard R and like really make it about villains. Like that would be an interesting
movie. That
would be
great.
Like we're family because we all like to, shoot people in the head.
Well, I mean like put them on a mission to really like they got to assassinate somebody. Like this isn't a save or like a smash and grab. This is like you're going because this person needs to go.
That would be cool.
Had a small argument with someone over that too because I said why didn't they just make Venom rated R? But it was you can get away with a lot in PG-13 nowadays. It's a matter of like saying the F word and then I guess a little less gruesome, but still
the amount of violence.
We will not talk about the ratings board here because that is the most idiotic thing that.
I totally agree.
The amount of violence you can have in PG-13 movies is unbelievable, and then you still can't show a nipple.
Well, it's not even that. Like it's all arbitrary. Like there's no set rule. If there was a set rule, it'd be easy to understand.
I love the ratings things now. Like what they're rated for, like. Cartoon violence and like all these like incredibly
the whole reason things. That Venom is PG-13 is because the movie is geared towards middle school and high school teenagers. That is why the movie is PG-13. That's why it made $85 million.
Fair enough.
But I don't think Suicide Squad should be that. I think Suicide Squad Make it about a fucking mercenary group. That's what they
are. I just want Marvel or DC to just fucking, one of them, just fucking drop it and
go for it.
You mean like Deadpool did? They're like, we're Marvel rated R. I guess Marvel
did do Deadpool even
though well, I mean, it's Fox.
Fox.
Yeah. So,
and, I mean, and that's...
And, yeah.
Yeah.
So I just want them, yeah, just... Go straight R superhero movie. Like, yeah, like Deadpool style, I guess.
I'd be fine with that. I don't really care one way or the other. I'm 25. I can see whatever damn movie I want. But
that's kind of funny that Disney and Sony are, like, the two biggest, like, superhero movie things, and then Fox is the only one to have, like, a successful R superhero right. movie.
Twice.
Yep.
Logan and Deadpool. Well, and Deadpool.
Logan was rated R?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's in my house. I don't know why I haven't watched it.
Oh, my God. Okay, anyway, moving on.
My gosh.
That's going to, like, that day. What? So Ryan Coogler's coming back for Black Panther 2. Collective cheers. I mean, like, what else do we...
Sorry, I'm fangirling over here.
Let's just, yeah, just have good villains, right?
Oh,
and
my...
We'll be fine. Good. That's really
what do you mean by villains, Nat?
Well, that's, I mean, Killmonger's gone, Claw's gone, so we just need a good villain.
That's gonna be, oh, I didn't even think about that Ryan Coogler is gonna have to direct a movie without Michael B. Jordan in it, because every single movie that Ryan Coogler has directed has starred Michael B. Jordan.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know if you, yeah. Fruitvale Station, Creed, Black Panther.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so I wonder if he's gonna have like a
I feel like there's gonna. I feel like there's gonna like be a Killmonger ghost now, like in like Star Wars.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like, he goes into the spirit realm, yeah. And Michael B. is in there just for like a minute, just because he has to.
Well, they just flip the script on us, and after the events of Avengers 4, they just do the Galactic Empire of Wakanda. And, like,
that'd be so crazy. Yeah, and he's the like.
I'm really.
Yeah. So, just bring him back cool. again.
With was it Chadwick Boseman being so upset about the fact that he can't walk down the street? People are like, "Oh, Wakanda!" And he's like,
"Oh my god, yeah, that has to be so cool." Like, you know, because people salute you, and it's like you kind of have to do it,
right?
Because, like, it's so, you know, representative, and
yeah,
and like, and there's so much weight that it carries.
He just needs
the guy that...
He just needs to have another movie in between these so that he can, like,
right.
get
oh, I know,
some interview questions that aren't about the
yes.
Marvel Universe.
Yes,
yeah,
please.
I don't know if I've seen any interviews with him, but I feel like the mention of Black Panther, he's just like...
No, he still loves it.
He still
it's just
loves
like,
it. But, like...
You could tell he was getting tired.
But I feel like that shows, like, how good of an actor he is, like... Because he's not, like, you know, that at all in real life.
Right.
Like,
he's...
As a person, he's almost like the exact opposite, like, personality of T'Challa. Yeah. Like, you know, funny and
yeah,
silly.
Yeah, he's
like,
a lot more relaxed.
Oh, like freaking SNL.
Yeah, exactly.
Alright, what else do we have? Oh, okay, so we're gonna keep in the land of movies and TV and talk about the released shot of Ruby Rose as Batwoman in the CW shows. Kat, you want to take the lead? You have your up onions about this one?
I'm probably going to have up onions about this entire show. Just watch. I guarantee it. Because I was so salty with it to begin with. So I was looking it over, and I thought everything was great. They did her symbol really well, which made me happy. Because I will say this, like, in a frustrating moment... the freaking Red Hood symbol and her symbol, I sometimes get them confused.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, I'm happy that they made it. It's, well, his is thicker and hers is thinner, but it's still red.
Yeah.
So, they did her symbol and everything, and I was like looking it over, and then I stopped when I hit the cape because I was like, why is your cape so short? Because I saw the cape and I'm like, Batgirl, wait. Hang on, wait. Nope, still getting Batgirl. So I don't know, I mean, yes, it's a minute and probably stupid thing to talk about, but when I look at that cape every single time, I'm like, Batgirl, you're not Batgirl. Shit, but,
I mean, you do have a lot of connection to the character and stuff.
I do.
So I can see
that.
I'm
more curious to see her as Kate Kane, honestly, because Kate Kane is literally as pasty white as Batwoman, so and every time I've seen Ruby Rose, she's very... Okay, I'm pasty white. Ruby Rose is tanned, so I'm very curious to see, and as well as the fact that I'm curious, because she also has red hair, So I'm curious if they're going to do her beginning look or her shaved head look. So there's that. But I'm more curious to see her as Kate Kane, because they did. It looks like they did make up her face for.
Which I was... So I'm of the perspective of this was fucking amazing. Like, this was one of the best comic book suits adaptations I've seen since Affleck's suit in Batman v Superman. You know, like, this is exactly what I want. The cape, I agree with you, it's kind of weird that it's short. It may be a functionality thing. Like,
it was just the hiccup in the moment, which, right, when I was looking it over, because everything else I don't really have an argument with. It was just the cape where I was like, eh.
Well, and they chose to make her boots black, they chose to make her gloves black, and I think with the shorter cape, that allows her to hide in shadow a lot more. Her gloves and boots are normally red.
That's right.
But the trim work seems to match what the comic book version of the character is. I also love the fact that she has the white makeup and the deep lipstick.
Yep.
It looks correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. It's going to, especially in the action scenes, I think, it's going to give a really cool effect that she has.
This is a good point,
like,
to how well they actually did her symbol.
Yeah, she has the red hair, the red lipstick, and the red symbol that are all, like, the same, like, vibrant, deep colors. So I think especially, because her hair goes past the symbol on her chest, too.
So
I think it does look like a wig, honestly.
It should be.
Yeah, because her costume is like, it's super dumb-looking when she takes it off. But, like, it's basically she removes the top of it, and it's a red wig, because at one point she shaves her head down.
Yeah, yeah, so. which makes sense that's like a whole another aspect to the disguise. You know?
Right, mm-hmm. And the makeup. And I think it actually works.
It kind of reminds me how Batman, especially Christopher Nolan's Batman, has the eyeshadow inside the mask. It kind of reminded me of that. Like, her makeup.
Right.
So, that's the one thing I'm super curious about, is it looks like they did her costume and everything very well. It's Kate Kane that I'm curious what she's going to look like, because Ruby Rose is... I guess I would go with more of an olive skin tone, and then she has darker hair.
And I like that better. I honestly do. I know I like her being an olive... It creates a nice disguise, once again. If she's wearing that paste makeup... Yeah. It's going to make her look
See, this is
going to
sound dumb, but as a kid who's always made fun of her being pasty white, I'm like, no! Make her pasty white!
We need representation, too.
I need representation!
we need to move on, actually, because there's comic book news we should talk about. So, the three Jokers from DC Black Label, there's some information that dropped at New York Comic Con. The three Jokers themselves are going to be the classic original Joker.
So I have a definition of that original Joker.
So, like, literally first appearance Joker, based on, like, the Man Who Laughs film. Darker, more murderous, less funny.
So kind of more like a traditional gangster portrayal.
Can you hook a character to that? Because that'll probably help.
No, because there is not, like, an adapted version of that character.
Would that be closer to, like, Jack Nicholson?
No, actually, Jack Nicholson is going to be closer to the Brian Bolland Joker, in my opinion, which is one of them. The one from The Killing Joke, I think, is a lot more like Jack Nicholson to me. Like, I've always loved.
Well, yeah, because he's more cartoony.
Cartoony, manic, really homicidal. Like, the joke, the Jack Nicholson's Joker was a killer, you know, like, for sure. And then at one point,
he pulls a gun out, and
the other Joker is the 60s and 70s, what we would refer to as classic Joker. So, the one that has, like, the purple is a little bit almost pink, even. The one that was responsible for Jason Todd dying. The one that was from Joker's Five-Way Revenge.
Oh, see, now I'm confused. Oh, this will be confusing. Okay, keep going.
And then they also, the reveal was the three main characters in the books, which are Batgirl, Red Hood, and then Bruce. And Bruce is revealed to be... His design is based heavily on the Michael Keaton era of Batman.
I'm sorry.
So, not all black, but he has the yellow oval, has the same belt design, and then it's a dark gray with the black cloak. And it looks really, really good. I always loved that belt design. It was completely not functional, but looked
good. Oh, no, totally not.
So I think that if I were to wager a guess, Brian Bolland's Joker, the Killing Joke Joker, will deal directly with Batgirl. The 60s and 70s Joker will deal with the Red Hood, because he's the one who killed him in Death of the Family. And then the classic Joker, original Joker, will be dealing with Batman. So
I have to see the character design. I think a problem I'm having is I can't see the like character designs in my head right now because I'm sick today.
The brightest one would be the 60s-70s Joker,
which is what I figured. So I'll have to like look up
images. The Killing Joke one. Everybody knows when you see the image, you go, "Oh yeah, okay."
It's well, yeah, because he's the one with the weird little overcoat.
It's the upturned hair.
Yeah,
the hair goes up and then does like the pompadour curl down over the
just yeah, understated and he has, haircut. Like, the elongate, I'm just saying
he has like the elongated.
Yeah, the elongated uh-huh. face. Like that's the one that's like really iconic. You think of the picture from the cover.
I'll have to look it up and see.
Yeah.
So I'm really exciting. I'm glad that there's a three, like it's defined. Like we know we're gonna walk into that. So what does that mean? But it's really cool.
I'm game.
Interesting.
The last bit of like comic book news that I have is Bendis's Wonder Comics. So he's gonna have his own like.
It's just called Wonder Comics, though, right?
Right. Okay. It's Bendis is spearheading a line of comic books.
It's not like Michael Brian Bendis presents Wonder Comics,
right? So Bendis is going to be spearheading this like subline of superhero books within DC. So not like his Jinx World stuff, which is very indie heavy. This is superhero books. The four books announced at this point in time are Naomi, which is a character we don't know.
She's also going to be in. Keep going.
Okay, we have Dial H for Hero. The Wonder Twins, which is going to be written by Mark Russell, who wrote Flintstones
See,
and
the
Exit
is,
Stage
the,
Left.
The only thing I know about the Wonder Twins is like literally from the 60s cartoon, so now I'm just real. Is it 60s or 70s? Whatever cartoon they were in the Justice.
70s, I think.
Yeah. So now I'm just curious. I'm like, are we going to put this in the 70s and screw my mind like we did with the Flintstones?
I'm sure that we are.
The only thing I know of them is like the Fairly Odd Parents like parody of the Wonder Twins that they would bring back all the time. Shape up. Of a bucket of water.
And then the headlining title is written by Bendis with art by Pat Gleason as Young Justice.
Yeah.
Bringing back Connor Kent. How the fuck are you doing that?
Like, yeah, well, I have no idea
how that's going to work.
I will say he's like one of the ones that escapes me because he was that clone of Superman.
He's the clone of Superman and Lex Luthor. And
yep. He's got two dads.
Yeah. I really have no idea how they're going to bring him into the post-Rebirth
universe. What happened
universe.
To him, I guess, is what I'm asking, because I don't
just
know.
Completely retconned out. Like, he just doesn't exist in Rebirth. He didn't really exist in New 52. They had to make a new version of the character, and people hated him. So, yeah. Because Superboy right now is John. It's his son, so.
Okay.
So where did Connor come from?
So it's Tim Drake, Connor Kent, and Bart Allen are like their
Impulse.
And then they're saying along with Jenny Hex, which is Jonah Hex's descendant.
That's hilarious.
And who got all of his old stuff, including an Adam Strange ray gun.
That's fucking dope.
Teen Lantern, who managed to hack the power battery to do things he he really shouldn't. And a mysterious character named Naomi, which is that other title
right,
line. So no one knows who Naomi is.
So she's going to be in Young Justice, I guess, and then get her own spinoff series.
Probably.
Yeah.
They're pretty sure about this character.
I mean, Bendis is probably allowed to do whatever the hell he wants to. I have to say.
I'm just going to say Jessica Jones.
Right? Yeah, that's true. Young Justice is the
book.
Funny
if she's like teen Jessica Jones.
Which would be kind of awesome.
I'd be game.
That would be kind of awesome.
You know what the character actually. Make her an alcoholic too. Is that allowed to have like a teenage alcoholic?
Are we missing. Is Naomi Steele?
Steel?
Yeah, because at one point in time, Steel, John Henry Irons had his niece, we'll have to look up that one up. That's an interesting thing. But Young Justice is the book that I want Bendis on. That was exactly like when Bendis was coming to DC, I wanted him on a teen book. I thought that like putting him on Titans or Teen Titans would have been the ideal situation, but putting him on Young Justice, there we go. I'm relaunching this, especially now that it's going to coincide with a... The alternate universe Young Justice on the DC Universe streaming, that you know, it's good timing.
Yeah.
People, it's going to be in the zeitgeist. People are going to be thinking about this stuff.
Yep.
Just like walking down the street with a DC flag.
Right. And Tim Drake's new costume is sick.
He's not the Red Robin in this either. Right?
Thank God. Stupid idea.
Why do you like the Red Robin?
Because Tim Drake is probably the best Robin we've ever had, and he should really own the mantle of Robin.
All right, we'll say that.
Okay, I don't know. I can't argue. So,
what else do we have for news?
That's it.
I feel like that's really about it. It was mostly just that Young Justice one, which was a really big one.
Well, that's it.
That's it.
I mean,
You guys want to argue about Robin's?
I can't argue with it because Dick Grayson is Nightwing. Dick Grayson is Nightwing, and that's my favorite.
Dick Grayson is the best sidekick we've ever had.
Oh my god! All right, let's, apparently we have to do a mini-sode about this.
All you Damian fans out there, he's cool. I like Damian.
Oh my goodness. You think you don't think me and Matt can't just
fuck Jason Todd?
Hey, he did it. Yeah. Hey. I think we should probably end the show. Yeah,
probably,
yeah.
Probably a good way to go.
Matt did it, and that's a
yeah.
All right, well, bye, guys. Let's say bye, everyone. Bye. Bye. Bye.